What's up? It's your man Chuck, and I'm with my homie Hitch, saving people from the walls. And you got my co-host.
Your girl, Mikasa, checking in, being a sad ass this week. And you are listening to another episode of Black on Time.
Yeah, so this episode, I don't know how it really made me feel. But I remember you were telling me it was like your favorite episode to this point.
Why? Mm-hmm. I think it just showed a lot of characters' vulnerability in this episode. So I think that's probably the main reason why this episode was my favorite episode of the season so far.
Okay. See, there was a lot of that vulnerability shown. But for me, like, everything just kind of made me queasy. Like, just seeing the results from the rumbling. Because, like, when you think of the rumble, at least when I thought of it, it was going to be, like, affecting everybody else. But, like, seeing all of these, like, people hurt and stuff like that, like how far ranging, and then like with what Connie was doing. This episode made me feel really queasy. I did not like it. But I liked it. But it is
we're just on par with the rest of the show. So I can't relate to that.
But it was just I guess I'll explain more when we get into it. But speaking of that, want to hop right on in?
Yes, let's. So the episode starts off in Trost District, and we can see that Trost is in shambles and people are dead. People are, you know, stuck under rubble. And we see the military police helping get some of the survivors out. And, you know, it's kind of like the first time we actually see military police doing stuff. You know, they're very few and far between when it comes to disasters. So it's kind of interesting seeing this turn of events. But we see a woman that's being saved by Hitch. And, you know, she's like, Aaron Yeager took my house. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's like, you're alive, but it's just like, houses can be rebuilt. But, you know, yeah, boo, Aaron Yeager. But
lost their family.
Yeah, exactly. That's more so like, it's your house, but okay. And then you do see people who, you know, have lost family members. And, you know, they're upset, rightfully so. But then, of course, who's louder? The Yeagers. And the Yeagers are like, you just got to take some sacrifices. Like, you know, like your son's dead. Oh my God. Yeah. So you have some people that just, you know, are against good things happening for everyone because they're like, yeah, your son is dead, but that's just a sacrifice that you had to make in order for Aaron to save us all. Because they're, you know, they're like, well, they was coming to kill us, so we got to go kill them. And, you know, you can kind of sympathize with them, but it's just, you know, it's messed up all around. And so the Yeagerists, you know, they're like, y'all ain't gonna talk about our king. And they're shunning the people who, you know, are like, hey, this isn't right. And so Hitch and her partner are like, this is about to get ugly. And, you know, like I said, they're not used to confrontation or having to do, you know, anything like rigorous like this. But, you know, this is all coming to a head at this point. So Hitch is, you know, going to do her thing. And then she sees something mysterious.
Yeah. The MPs, they aren't generally useful people, but the few times they do help out are to clean up disasters just a little bit. So yeah. This is just about all that they have up their alley. And Hitch is going to go look for more supplies. And then she sees all these water droplets on the floor.
Water footprints.
Yeah. And she knows what's up because she's been Annie's babysitter for the last 4 years, whereas about. And then we get Annie back on the screen, but Annie is not Annie. Like, she comes back and she gets Hitch hemmed up, sneaks from her behind her back and says, like, yeah, if you do anything, I'll cut your throat. And Hitch is like, does a little somersault. And when Hitch does that, she's like, imagine that. Whoever would have thought I'd be throwing you around, Annie. Back in the training, because they was all in the same class, and it's incredible how many of them have actually survived from that class, considering the reputation of people not surviving just when they joined the military, but especially the scouts.
Well, we know why that happened.
Yeah, but it's still just incredible to think about. And Hitch and Annie start having this conversation because Hitch knows Annie, and Annie's not what Annie was, and Hitch can see that. So Annie has already cut herself, and she threatens Hitch, like, I can always turn to the female titan, and that would give y'all some serious problems. And Hitch knows this. So Hitch kind of thinks about it, just is like, I don't really believe you, because you can't do it in your state. You're not as strong as you were. And Annie's like, try me. But Hitch and Annie have a conversation, and they come to a resolve that Annie is going to just try to leave instead of going all
rampage.
Yeah. Before she causes trouble for everybody, she's going to just try to leave. So that leads to Hitch helping Annie get away, and they cut to the stables, and that's when Annie and Hitch get to, like, the start of a really deep conversation, because Annie's been listening to Hitch the whole time, and we should have known that Annie was some type of semi-conscious, just because when everything happened with the Warhammer Titan, and she was in the crystallized state, she was clearly controlling the Warhammer Titan. So clearly, that person's conscious. At least that's what, you know, I would think.
Yes, a very valid assessment, considering that the Warhammer and female Titan are all descendants of one Titan, so of course Annie can have those type of, you know, abilities as well.
Yeah. And do you think, oh no, the scream is her secret ability, right?
Her scream can call Titans to, pure Titans to her.
Right. But, like, I'm saying, you know how, like, all of their secret abilities, just like, that's her.
I guess that's something, you know, a part of hers, because Zeke, you know, has that ability, but he's a founding member, so.
Right. So, Annie and Hitch go riding away, and they're seeing all of the destruction, and they're was really there was a moment when Hitch told Annie that pretty much, like how we said, MPs on clean up disaster. She's like, cleaning up after you and Aaron are really on our hardest working. Well, that's because you're MPs and really don't do too much. Like, but
just like regular cops.
Oh, regular cops are maybe even worse than MPs. And he's just kill people on the regular for no reason.
True. They just drink the wine.
Right. Or they turn in flock.
But he was scout though.
I mean, after he was a MP.
Yeah, he was always a bitch first though.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're observing all of the destruction that Aaron has caused and all of the bodies. So Hitch kind of asks Annie, like, Annie, does she ever regret it? And that gets into Annie's psyche. And we see Annie really thinking about back on her past. And Hitch is kind of like, I don't want to hear all of that. But Annie's like, no, you're gonna listen to me. I listen to you and all your bullshit. And when Annie starts talking about how they were taught that it was okay to kill soldiers and civilians alike, and that they got rewarded for killing, I kind of understood Gabby. And I mean, you knew this because we watched them, but I kind of understood Gabby just a little bit more.
I agree. That part did. I did feel a comparison in that part with Annie and Gabby.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying I forgive her for killing my comrade Sasha, but I really, it's fuck that system more than fuck the kid, you know?
The brainwashing, yeah.
Yeah. So it was really kind of more of an understanding of what's happening to all of these people. Because, and I mean, it's been said, but they, like she said, anything they did was justified. Mm-hmm. And it really got kind of sticky. And then we get into the little conversations between Annie and Armin. Because Annie said, like, yeah, Armin told me about what you guys are trying to do.
First of all, pause. Why are you divulging top secret information to the enemy, even if you do think that she's not awake or whatever? It's like, use your brain. Like, why are you even talking out of turn?
You know, because he's so in love.
Oh my goodness. Unethical. And this is the men we have in charge. Shaking my head.
Listen. Armin, honestly, getting into Armin really disappointed me this episode.
Oh my gosh. That's, you know what's funny? I had the complete opposite response to Armin this really? Episode. Yes. But we'll get into it as we unfold.
Okay. but Annie's talking about how saving the world didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. None of it mattered to her.
Like she was a child of abuse.
Oh my gosh, she was abused so many times. And it really because we got into Annie's backstory, like, oh my gosh, there's just pause. How was her dad just there?
Able to pick her up from the gate?
Yes.
A kidnapper.
No, like
human trafficker.
How did he know that this Eldian baby or half Eldian baby would, well, I mean, I guess they operate off the one drop rule, huh?
Well, in the manga, they said it was because she had a genetic test done. That's how they figured out her Eldian amount of, you know, she was 50-50 or whatever.
Okay. So, that's so racist.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Oh, you a man. Nigga? Out of here. This is literally like when white women got pregnant by black men in the early 1900s and literally had to drop their baby off somewhere because they couldn't have no black baby with them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But it still was really weird to me how he just was there.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, and he knew that this was his LDN. And I don't know. This is really
separate
weird.
Questions.
Mm-hmm. Very separate questions, but important questions nonetheless.
Right.
So then we get into the training montage, and we see Annie become
Mr. Karate Kid.
Karate Kid, but like turn up the abuse.
Right.
Like
a child called it / Karate Kid.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! That's not supposed to be funny.
is not.
That is one of the saddest books I've ever read.
Both kids survived, so we can laugh.
Oh man! So this man just
read some ass book, and they had us reading that in middle school, man.
Listen, they are like, and I guess you can kind of take whatever lesson you're supposed to take from that, but come on, man! Like, how necessary was that?
Imagine being a child of abuse, having to read that story now.
Oh my god!
Fucked up. What's up?
But here they are worried about white kids reading about slavery.
Oh, stop. You're shaking the table.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But,
oh my gosh.
Okay, so back to
Attack on Titan. After
we went down a history rabbit hole.
After Mr. Lionheart slaps Annie bare-face in the rain. That was such a fast thing. Like, that was on the level of remember Holes when old girl was digging and she's like, yeah, man, I'm tired.
Well, that's too damn bad. Yes. But you know, her beating the shit out of him, it was all deserved.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I love that was the next scene.
Yes.
Because it showed
that
rightfully so. She's like, oh, make sure you can't walk right again.
Walking with a limp, not a pimp. But he was still happy, though.
He was, because he's like, this is exactly what I trained you to do. And see, right after that, when he's just like, is this your life story?
Like, bitch, it's my villain origin story, okay?
And you're going to listen to it.
Exactly.
I listen to you talk about all these shitty dudes this day. So you gonna sit here?
You running through the MPs like a Tomb Raider.
Oh my gosh! It's really good that Annie and Hitch had some type of friendship. And Hitch is one of those characters that when she's around, she was always one of the MPs that was like, "Okay, I understand why you're an MP, and I don't hate you because you're an MP."
Yeah.
Like,
you don't want to die. Right.
And I can respect you. You don't want to die. You're willing to help. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Annie kind of just was telling her how, with her villain origin story, she didn't think that any lives were important. And that's when we seen her doing her little homicidal maniac stuff with the butterfly. Mm-hmm. But she didn't think any lives were important until her dad told her, like, just please come back. Like, that's all he really wanted. And when he expressed that love for her, that's when she realized kind of that love existed in the world, because that's the first piece of love that she ever felt. And you see that after
the only love.
Yeah. Like, that's the only love she has felt to this point, except for Bartholdt slash Armin. Barman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Berman.
Berman.
Mm-hmm.
Arthold.
Berman's better.
Berman. Berman sounds like oh, company. Elder Berman's.
Berman and Coat Factory.
So that's when Annie decides that that's what's important, is getting back to her father. And this is the only determination that they had, that she has to survive. Like, that's probably been her, or not probably, but that's been her driving force this whole time, is getting back to the one person that loves her. And that's really a constant refrain throughout the story, is that people are just trying to get back to their loved ones amidst all of the chaos that's going on, you know? So I think that was kind of touching, getting to know Annie and what Annie is really about. Because up till now, from based off the information we knew, I mean, as a member of the Annie's my favorite villain hive, you know, I knew there was something deeper up in there.
Yeah, the trauma obviously runs deep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that fades out and we get a little infographic about what the rumbling was, just in case you forgot. And it, they talk about the threat and all that, but that's not important.
So then that gets us to the internment camp in Marley. And of course, like I said last week, these folks was not going to be believed. And what happened? They was not believed. Oprah.
No, when I was watching the episode, I thought about that.
I told you.
What she said happened.
Yes. I was like, they're going to talk shit on them, and exactly what happened. Like, the guards were being such dicks to these people. And it's just like, you know, these people could have really just bomb rushed you, kicked you in the face, and was like, fuck it, we out of here. We going to, you know, wherever we're going. But they were pleading with your, you know, trying to get into your good graces and be like, look, this is what's going to happen. They trying to save you too. And, you know, these people aren't having it. And you see, like, Reiner's mom was like, I knew those island devils were going to come for us. And I'm like, your son went there first. And so it's like, okay. But then you see, like, Gabby's mom and Falco's family, you know, they're all like, oh my gosh, what's happening to our kids? And who's gone? But, you know, everybody is trying to, you know, try to get out of the internment camps. And so Annie's dad is like, look, I know all the other internment camps are saying the same things. Like, we are not making up this big-ass story or whatever. Okay. And so they're like, no, y'all co-conspirators. We taking all y'all to jail. And so, you know, these two men against, what, 30 people, they like, okay, get down on the ground. And so, you know, Miss Leyhorn, he'll get down, but, you know, he was like, actually, fuck y'all. And he gets up and, you know, tries to get the gun from the guard. And then you hear a gunshot. And we don't know if that gunshot is related to Annie's dad or to the scene where we run into Commander Shaw is. And he was like, was that a gunshot? So, you know, we don't know what's happening over in Marley Eldia. But speaking of Commander Shadid, we see him, you know, hiding. Well, I wouldn't say hiding. He's just, you know, getting out of the way, trying to recover from all this work he's been putting in over these last few days. And the weaklings come in to tell him that, you know, Flock is making a move and he need to go somewhere. And Shadis is like, look, I'm too old to be going to the woods trying to, you know, escape everything. He was like, look, I'm just gonna have to go.
And I ain't never ran from a nigga. Damn sure ain't about to be the day I start running type thing.
And I feel him because he's like, look, you know, I've done my work. I'm just gonna have to go out with a bang. And you know, they were like, I don't know. They were just being weak. And he was like, you know, I let y'all whoop my ass, right? Like, I really could whoop all y'all asses. But, you know, he was really trying to preserve my life. He was basically saying, I'm trying to preserve my life as long as I could, which is what I'm telling you lames to do, which is fall in line with a Flock. And, you know, when the time comes for you to rise up, then rise up. But don't try to be a hero because you're weak as fuck. So... just don't.
You need some work.
They were looking like, oh, yeah. Get your ass in line. Like, you can't fight a gun. And Flock with a gun, oh, geez, Louise.
He uses that so indiscriminately.
Well, this is what, anyway. Yes, you are correct. I was just like, okay. Wow. So, yeah.
Oh, man. But, after that, we get Armin and Mikasa talking, and Armin's about to head off to chase down Connie before Connie's able to feed Falco to his mom. So they're having this conversation, and he's like, Mikasa's like, so what's going on? Like, Mikasa is doing right now is asking questions, and she's like, so are you going to ask him? Like, what are you going to ask him? And you're gonna be asking him like not save his mom. And it's like, yep, that's the plan. Even if it's pointless, I gotta try it. Like that's all I can do right now, Pastor. Mm-hmm. And without that, we won't gain Gabby's trust. And he gets into thinking about everything else that's going on, because any chance of keeping Reiner and McCart in line depends on Gabby. And the problem of the nine Titans with everything, with all the Titans existing, it hasn't gone away. So in order to get through what's going on and prevent another 2,000 years of Titan mayhem, there has to be a way to kill it all off. So there's nothing else he can do other than just try to go save Falco. So he's like, I'm gonna tell Connie that, like, yeah, his mom should stay a Titan.
No, that man said she should stay an upside down Titan. Like, why you even have to go that far, bro?
Nah, he had to go that far because Connie disrespected him a little bit, so he had to talk a little bit. He felt
okay. You're right. I'll let him have it because he really don't talk shit. So I'll let him have it. Okay.
Man, it was low key funny though. So then Mikasa's like, Armin, like, what should I do? And Armin's like, go help John. Like, think of how for yourself. You're going to have to use your own brain, Mikasa. And then Mikasa's like, and what about Aaron? And then at that point, at the mention of Aaron's name, Armin snaps. Like,
really did.
I haven't seen Armin like this ever. Like, and you can tell that Armin is at his complete wit's end. And it's kind of sad to see. But, like, he snaps on Mikasa. And he's like, Hans might be dead. Flock be trying to kill us. Like, there are a whole lot more
Historia.
Problems. Annie's awake. The military is falling apart. We are in complete anarchy. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's the volunteers. All of our allies. All these people are in a lot of situations. Like, I can't even think about Aaron and the rumbling right now. Like, we gotta take care of home. And when he says that, like, Mikasa, she just says, sorry. And you can tell she feels very defeated. Because that's, both of her best friends have completely snapped on her in the past couple of days. So there's so much going on in her life that, and she isn't processing this well. Like,
right.
There's a lot going on through her head. Like, as Mikasa, like, what do you think was going through Mikasa's head at that point?
I think she was just really, this is the first time that she's unsure of things, just because a lot of things have been happening in succession. And so the people who she's usually relying on, because, you know, I won't say that she doesn't know how to think for herself, but usually she's cleaning up problems. And, you know, she's good at that. She's good at fixing things. And, like, you need me to go slice some tires? Got it. You need me to go bully somebody? Got it. You need me to go cut some lumber? Got it. Like, you know, she just does what is requested of her. And so this is the first time where nobody's requesting her to do anything. So she's really unsure. And especially because Aaron's causing chaos, but we don't know where he's going. We don't know, like, you know, what the next steps are. Armin is like, what do you think we can do? Like, you know, it's really not much we can do at this point. And so he's like, this is what I can do to feel like I can do something. You need to figure out what you can do to make yourself feel like you're doing something. And so, you know, I think, like, in that moment, like, she looked for her scarf that was gone by Louise. And, you know, I think she was just looking for something to lean on to figure out, like, okay, where can I go? What should I do? And so, you know, that led her to going to where Armin told her to go.
Before Armin told her to do all that, when he was talking about, when he's being the second sad blonde person of the show, running theme here. But
I'm about to say, who's the first?
Annie.
Oh, okay.
But But all blondes do not have more fun in the series. But Armin's how useless he feels like he is at this point, and that Erwin should have been the person. He was the wrong person to bring back to life.
And I was so glad he did that.
Really? Your team Erwin should have been brought back to life?
Of course. I've always been team Erwin. But I'm just so glad that he finally acknowledged that he shouldn't have been the one that should have been brought back. Now, I'm not going to say he's not going to make up for it later in the story by some point. But at this point, he hasn't fully... What's the word I'm looking for? He hasn't redeemed himself to the point where I feel like he should have received the title. Like, I get Erwin basically saying give it to him, but I still don't think that should have been the case. I feel like we were like, no, fuck this man.
Oh, man. I am not Team Bolotai. As much as I love Commander Erwin.
I prefer the sexy blonde over the sassy one.
Commander Erwin is definitely the most confident blonde that we have in this series. But dang, that's really messed up that you feel that way about him. But as after he heads out, we
self-awareness.
Not self-awareness. We flash back to Gabby saying bye to the Brouse family as Armin's about to go try to chase down and find Falco and Connie. So you have this whole little conversation that Gabby's having is having with her adopted, foreign exchange family. And she's like, Kaya is like, bye Mia. And then Mia's like, my name is Gabby. And then she's like, Gabby, that's weird. I like Mia better. So then they kind of have this thing, this little hug out, and you get this little nice moment of a goodbye before we get right back to the gutting blood and gore that we all love Attack on Titan for.
And what you call Nicola also said that he was going to stay with the Brouse family, you know, make sure they were safe in the meantime. So I'm glad that Nicola's still sticking around and helping them out.
Yeah. That is nice. But he was so in love with Sasha. This is his adopted family.
I mean, yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying, he still could have been like, she did. I mean, fuck y'all. But it's just the fact that, you know, he's using his skills and what he's able to do to try to make sure that they stay safe. And I just think that, you know, that's very kind of him. And it does show that, you know, just because he's from Marley, he's a Marley, and he's not a terrible person, even though he's done terrible things. Some people can be redeemed.
He has grown.
Yes.
But, I mean, also, what else is he going to do? We got this suicidal maniac trying to kill everybody. Going to hide off on the farm is...
I mean, but he could have tried to run back to Marley.
He see what's going on. Niccolo, he one thing, but he ain't dumb.
He's a smart blonde too, so I'll give him that. So
he see what's going on. Niccolo, he know he ain't got too much of a choice.
You still do. So yeah. After that, we cut to Locke shooting one of the volunteers in the hand. And of course, it's very gory. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, why is he even, why else does he have a gun? Like, that was the worst person to show guns to. And so you can see the volunteers are obviously kind of shook that this is actually going on. And so it's kind of interesting because Flock is like the antithesis to Yelena as regards to Zeke and Aaron. You know, he's Aaron's main number one guy. Because John is like, you know, stop. Like, you need to stop this. And Flock is like, he didn't understand. So I'm trying to make him understand. And so John is like, who left you in charge, man? And he proudly boasts that he knew about Aaron's plan 10 months ago. And, you know, John a little shocked because obviously he didn't know about Aaron's plan 10 months ago. And so.
And he's like, I'm actually Aaron's friend.
Right. And so, you know, he was like, okay, this, that's, you know, sketchy. And so he tells the volunteers to lose hope because only Perry D will survive. And so Flock basically encouraged them to pledge their allegiance to Perry D and to Aaron. And, you know, the man who already got shot in the hand was like, man, fuck you. I'd rather die than, you know, give in to you. And Flock said, oh, okay. Bang, 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 bang.
Say less.
And killed this man.
Yo, my gosh. See? Oh, man. I really hate that boy.
Like, I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, he's just, oh, my goodness. So.
Easily one of my least favorite anime characters.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, man, damn. Okay. And so here Mikasa come and she like, what happened? And so John is, you know, he in distress. And
he is shook.
And so Flock promised that if Aaron can do what he needs to do outside the walls, he gonna do what he can inside and get all the dissent out of anybody. And he encourages John to join him because John will be a national hero and he can go be an MP and be annoying and lazy like he always wanted to be. And John is like, what you say to me? And I got a little nervous in that moment because I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, Flock is being very unusually kind to John, and I don't know if he's like, he'd rather have John on his side than not.
I mean, he know that if anybody can cause him problems, John, Mikasa are probably amongst the top of the people that can actually cause him problems.
True, but it's like he basically ignored Mikasa while she was there.
I don't think he respects her. But he fears
her. I can see that.
If that makes sense.
Yes, I can see that. But yeah, so Flock tells, Mikasa asked Flock where was Hanji and Levi. And he was like, Zeke killed them actually. And, you know, it's just like, okay, another, you know, blow to their morale. And so, you know, Onion Capone and John make eye contact with each other as, you know, he's being sent down to the jail cells. And it's just a very, you know, high tension environment.
It is. It was silly of Flock to say that Levi killed him because y'all always got to check the body. But I really liked how the scene bled in to this point where we had the closing music going out with the actual action scenes going on. But you had Connie deceiving Falco. And this is completely out of Connie's character.
You can see his demeanor actually different too.
Yeah, like Connie is a lot of things, but he is always kind. Or generally kind. And he's telling Falco that he's taking him to get help. And Falco's like, yeah, I need to go south. We're heading north because I need to go find my peoples. Or was it north heading south? Yeah.
They're heading north, but he wants to go south.
Yeah. Yeah, like the first time. So Peek and Magus watching the blimps and the rumbling, and they're seeing the blimps head towards Marley. That way they can probably get there a little bit quicker and try to inform their homeland. But it's better than, you know, just sitting there waiting to be crushed. And Peek's like, there's not really anything we can do. And she's sitting there talking to Maggie. And I kind of like how everything is working up to this point with Peek and Maggie. And then as they're talking, and discussing about what to do with Marley and everything going on. Hanji is, you see her in the background out of the smoke as Peek and Maggie are talking. But then she's like, hey, and then you see peak turn her Titan around and just like ride it like a stallion and go towards her attacker. And I was like, oh, that's very cool that the car Titan, you can drive it like an automobile. Then, like, and Hanji's like, hold up, like, I come in peace. But I thought that was really cool to see, because that's the first time I see Peak doing anything like that. And then Hanji's like, wait, hold up, I'm completely unarmed. No, please don't eat me, don't hurt me. And then she starts talking as Hanji. Hanji can talk her way out of anything, because all she does is talk, and you just people listen to her for whatever reason. It's funny how it works. But she's like, who's that over there? Because after she says she's unarmed, she's like, who's that over there? Oh, don't worry about it. He's just a harmless fellow who refuses to die. And then we see Levi all bandaged up. And that's why Flock should have confirmed the body, because my man's ain't dead.
Woo!
Like, good don't die sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we ended up the episode. And it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely a great episode. Yeah. A lot of nuance added.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of nuance, what about, I really don't appreciate how they subtracted some of the nuance from the manga. I don't like how they detracted some of the nuance from the manga with what actually unfolded and how I would like to say Aaron kind of got to the place that he's at. But what did you think of the manga in comparison for this week specifically?
Well, one thing I noticed is that they started in Stohest District instead of Tross in the manga. So that was interesting. I don't know why they changed it. But it was, you know, chapter 125 in the manga. And it was pretty much everything that was in the manga, but the wording was a little different because I feel like the manga gave more details to certain things than the anime did. But I also feel like the anime fleshed out more of the action that we needed to see. So, little things. Like, I think between the conversation between Peak, Maggot, and Hanji was a little different, a little tweaked, to the point where, you know, Peak did come to Hanji, but Hanji, I don't know, it felt like Hanji was more so not as like begging, but like, you know, I'm unarmed, like, you know, hey, you should want to talk to me kind of thing. But I don't know, just little things that I feel like they missed from the manga, but not to the point where I feel like it took away from the story.
Got you. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. The manga was pretty nice. But it was, I do like the times when they just do a whole chapter.
Yeah, and they basically go piece by piece, panel by panel. But one thing I will say is that when I read the manga last year, when they finished up, John did not give me the same effect as he's giving me while watching the anime. I like his character more, and I actually noticed his character more while watching the anime than I did while reading the manga. Like, I feel like in the manga, when I was reading it, he was just there. But I feel like what I've seen of him up until now, it was very much him being present and a main force in this ending part.
Yeah, I can feel that. I do like how John has grown. How his character seems like it's come full circle, or the arc has not completed, but like his character development has completed at this point. And Because, like, and it was even kind of crazy how you seen that when Flock was telling. Because you remember when John wanted to be just a lazy MP before he got convinced to join the Scouts. Like, I mean, if everybody remembers that, and you see that he's not that person, he's a completely different person. So you even got to see that juxtaposition. That's why I say it's like the fulfillment of his character. And I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll see it in action, but like his character has fully developed, and it's really beautiful to see a character that's been since day one turn into who they are the last season. Like, I really do like that. But you said that you gained respect for Armin. Was that purely just because he said that Erwin should have been chose?
But it's more so like, no. It was more so like seeing him, the self-awareness. Like I said, I like that he was, you know, I feel like he was very soft, and not soft in a negative connotation way or a slur way, but more so like, I feel like he could have had more influence on Aaron, and I feel like he could have stood up more, like the girls say, stand up. Like, I feel like that's how I always was with Armin. It's like, stop, like, being so whiny, like, you know, take a position. And so I feel like this was the first time we saw him actually take a position, and, you know, especially taking a position on acknowledging that he shouldn't have been chosen. So I think that was very brave of him, honestly.
Oh, man. Honestly, that's the... I was disappointed in him for that exact reason, because I didn't really like him, because I don't think... Because you know how Jean's character development just finished? I don't think Armin's has.
No, not at all.
So he's giving up on himself before his potential is even reached. And I mean, that's been something that he's done before, even though he was always optimistic. And it's like just seeing, because I remember Armin back when Armin was getting bullied, thinking about the scene. I was like, he always had that optimism. He always had that, oh, I can do it type thing about him. Like, even when he was in the Scouts, and just to see that sap and him just act like he was defeated, even though he was being a man of action at the same time. To see his attitude change like that, and see, like, Armin never would snap on Picasso like that. You just mad that Connie pretty much called you a hoe. Like, so seeing all of that, like, really just disappointed me.
I can see that.
So, because he kind of came out of character. So, I didn't.
Yeah, I guess so.
But,
was that your surprise of the week?
Well, I guess in some ways it definitely was.
Me too.
Because I definitely did not expect Armin to behave like that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I definitely did not expect Armin to be behaving like it was the just the end of, well, I mean, I guess it is the end of the world. But I expected Armin to have more Kahupsa about him, you know, like, and he didn't. So I guess that was a surprise, even though my biggest surprise probably was that everything that happened was Flop. Like, and I mean, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but like, I really didn't think that folk would just let this homicidal maniac just take over. Like, y'all really let this happen? Like, I can't really get jiggy with that. And I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, I don't get it. So, yeah. What about you? What surprised you?
No, I said the same thing, but you know.
What about Armin?
For my other reason, yeah.
Gotcha. What do you see coming up?
And Mikasa's vulnerability.
Oh, that surprised you?
Yeah. It was just, you know, her vulnerability and her not being able to think for herself. You know, she's usually so quick to act, and it was just interesting.
Yeah. I that did surprise me a bit, but Mikasa looked like she's been going through.
Yeah, baby girl has.
What you see coming next week or coming down the pipe?
Well, based on the previews, we're gonna see Connie being real crazy. I don't know. I'm interested to see what Hanji and Peek and McGath are going to do.
It is kind of a team up. Like, Hanji, Peek, and McGath is a team up of some of the smartest characters in the series, but it's like just the most random team up that we can get.
What about you?
What I'm really anxious to kind of see, and this might be just a little bit sadistic, but I'm really wanting to see what the Wall Titans kind of, what it looks like when they trample the world. Like, is there going to be like, you know how when there's like a robbery and the helicopter follows the car, is there going to be like some type of
angle?
Like rumbling cam. Just watching the rumbling go down. Like, honestly, oh my gosh. TikTok idea. Somebody, like, and
it is sadistic.
If you do it, as if you, but like, nah, it's like somebody does like the a voiceover of the rumbling, like going down I-75. Like, it would be hilarious.
I've been practicing making TikToks.
But yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to.
But okay, so can you tell the people where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Chuck_Bate_, and if you find me there, you can find me anywhere. How about yourself?
You can find me on Twitter at PrimaYana, and you can also find me on my other podcast called Kinda Complicated Podcast.
And you can definitely rate us 5 stars. If you rate us less, then you're a flop. And around here, we don't like flops. So don't be a flop. Good.
Flock. And our email is
blackontitanaot@gmail.com. Hit us up. But until next week,
see you later.